This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Three of Magic Live and in the coffee line over here, and with Mark Mason. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Scotty, how are you, buddy?
Fantastic. Always good to have a chat with you. And so I'm in line. You're already sitting having some coffee. I'm going to be waiting for mine. So whenever that last time we talked, it was in Louisville. You were at the IBM convention.
I was indeed.
And now, did you do something between then and now as far as, did you have something with the Penguin or Magic Expo?
No, I didn't. I went on vacation. I've just flown in from Frankfurt, Germany.
I knew you had that little place in Germany you said you
wanted
to spend
time. We love Germany, so we were in Germany for a while. And I just got in, I'm a little jet-lagged, woke up at 3:20 this morning, very strong coffee, and back to work at 11, but it's been great so far, the first 2 days, I love them. I didn't see the show last night, maybe you did, Scott, and I was told it was really good, right?
It was very good, yeah, the Passing Zone, the jugglers were the guys.
The Passing Zone, they said, were brilliant.
They were, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, they came back and did a little bits in between and everything, and some of the things that they had shown on America's Got Talent, they kind of launched them quite.
I hope I can catch them somewhere. I literally went to bed. I was so jet-lagged, but I've heard at least three people this morning say the jugglers were fantastic.
Right, right. Well, all the other guys were really good. You know, David Goldrake opened up with this thing where he was walking through a metal plate,
all right.
And it was his opening, and it was really cool because when they pulled the sheet off, I mean, he was stuck in like halfway through the plate or something, you know. It was pretty cool.
All right, I've not seen that. Sounds good as well.
There was other guys, an Asian fella that I can't remember his name, Po Chang. Anyhow, he was great.
Minips.
He was nip with fans.
Yeah,
nice,
they're brilliant,
colors.
Aren't they? They just seem to be so strong in that area.
Then Nikas Takkens, I think was his name, was another guy who did manipulation. He was from the Netherlands, and he was at FISM. And I don't remember him from Italy. You might, but anyhow, he did some manipulation, bare-armed, you know. Up, in fact, at one point, he just held his arm out, and his sleeve automatically just kind of creeped up his arm, you know, to his elbow. It's like, what?
Wow, that's awesome.
And other kinds of things that were done. I'm trying to think of what else on the bill. It was a very good show. You're going to see the night show, I guess.
I'm going to try and stay up tonight. I'm going to catch up with some sleep. I've got to go back on the booth and work, and just going to go and have a meeting with a guy and see if he liked my magic trick.
What is that? What, you're going to sell something?
No. I'm going to show someone a trick for next year.
Okay.
For February release. I'm just getting some input, really. And hopefully it'll be really good.
So now that you're rested after your vacation or your holiday is over, that now it's back to work, and what are your plans for the
next
balance
job? Is the Penguin Expo. There's going to be one on September the 9th and 10th. If anybody's in Long Island or Manhattan, come on out and support. It's going to be a great event, actually. I think Greg Wilson is the guest. He's going to do a one-hour lecture, and Paul Richards will be there, myself will be there, Penguin will be there, and Mia Yedid is another guest. So we're expecting that to be a good day.
That'll be very good. Very good. Well, I'm glad you're here and that you made it and you're finally starting to get caught up. I know a jet lag is horrible. So keep moving along. Thanks a lot, Mark.
All the best, Scott. Get some coffee, buddy. Right. I'll see you soon.
Mark Mason. This is Scotty L. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the morning show. You got the blue lanyard, I see. There, I'm speaking with Bill Malone.
Hey, how are you, Scott? Good
fantastic.
To see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
well,
I'm a blue lanyard.
So you'll see the show this.
This
afternoon. You know, David Williamson and Richard Turner, a couple guys you may have heard of.
Not really. David Williamson I may have heard of.
Jason England.
He's a ringmaster, right?
Yes. Yeah,
is that what he does?
He ran with the circus. Yeah,
I think I've seen Richard Turner. I don't know if he's seen me, but I saw Richard Turner a couple times. I love him. He's a dear friend. He really is. I love Richard Turner.
Yeah.
And are you having a good time, Amanda?
I am having a good time.
Yeah,
it's funny. People usually don't ask me questions.
Do you mind if I continue interviewing you just for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Why is your microphone furry? That is my first question.
That's a good question. It's like a dead cat. Basically, that kind of...
Muffles the sound.
Keeps the piece from popping when you're too close to the microphone. Also, kind of gets rid of a little bit of the ambient noise and the reverberation. And the
when
echo.
You walked up, I really thought you were going to do Rocky Raccoon for me. Yeah.
This is Rocky microphone.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah.
How are things in Chi-Town?
Well, I live in Florida.
You
but things
Florida.
In Chicago are great from what I read.
Okay, that's why.
No, but I had a condo that I just recently sold in Chicago, so you're not that far off.
Okay, good.
But no, things are good. I mean, I'm performing all the time. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I'm blessed with that. you know, and
so most of your work in California, in Florida?
No, hardly ever. I mean, all my work is
you're
traveling.
Not working cruises out of there, though.
No, all corporate. Still like, yeah, okay. What I've always done.
Yeah,
the first 10 years of Magic, I did all bar and restaurants.
Right.
And then for 25 years, I've been doing all corporate stuff.
Have you been thinking about ever opening a restaurant again?
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't like repeating things. You know, the Magic Bar thing, that was fun and profitable and success at the time. But now I would never have the time to even do it, you know, because I travel so much. It's really hard. But, you know, I just love making people laugh. You know, that's my life. So the day I die, I'm going to go to my grave and I'll be laughing. And they'll all be laughing at me. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. But who's ever listening right now, try to figure this out and write it down and send it to me, bill@billmalonemagic.com, because I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know that
there's a man in front of me with a furry microphone, and I can't get past that. I'm petting it now. But it's very nice.
Speaking of humor, you know, Norman Beck had given me a joke about a week ago, and he was saying, what's the difference between a clown riding a unicycle in a striped suit and a red nose and a furry wig, and a businessman riding a bicycle in a gray flannel suit wearing a black tie?
I don't know.
Attire.
Nice. Nice. We're going to go far in this business,
yes,
Scott.
That's right.
You and I, if we keep telling that joke.
Well, speaking of different angles, I mean, that's the whole and different directions with your life. That's what this convention is about. You know, Stan has planned that, so this way there are many detours and places we go, or, you know, signposts that say, oh, let's go this direction. And David Williamson was talking about that. You were saying that you've been doing corporate work a long time. Same with him. They started doing the Disney cruises. Now he's the ringmaster. He said, I feel like it's just a pinball. Bing, bing, bing. You know?
Yeah, Williamson is one of my best friends. And I just have nothing but praise for him. He's my favorite performer
out
there.
You're two of the funniest guys, you know, between you and David, you know, that, and yet such dissimilar humor, you know, the different paths that you've
taken. I think they're different characters, but
yes, exactly.
But over the years we had so much fun, and we still do it when we're at conventions like this.
Sure.
But we used to, when he did corporate, we'd work a lot together, so we would try to make each other laugh all the time.
What are you enjoying at this convention so far?
Just friends, old friends. And I'll tell you, Stan Allen, I'm always trying to be funny, so now I'm going to be serious. Stan Allen just puts on a great convention, you know. He really does it right, you know, and he's a class act. And I think what makes this special is, just look around right now, you know, you can see at least 6 or 7 big names in Magic just talking to, anybody.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's great.
He's done a great job. One last thing, I'm going to let you go, because I know you were such good friends with Eugene Berger as well. Any comments or thoughts about, you know, kind of some memories you'd have with him?
You know, we're both from Chicago. And we got together a few times. Unfortunately, I never knew him really well.
Okay.
However,
he worked restaurants, and I know that you did, but back then. And
yeah, but we didn't work at the same restaurants.
Okay.
But I knew him, of course, through his writings. I mean, he's the most unbelievable guy. And I'll tell you one thing. When I heard the news that something happened to him, I immediately got choked up, and just it hurt me, you know, thinking that, you know, here I had access to Eugene all these years, and I never really got to spend much time with him because we were in different directions,
Sure.
But, he was certainly was one of our greats, and he'll be missed by everybody. Even if you didn't know Eugene Berger, you did, because if you read one book, it was like you did. So I take it back. I now say I knew Eugene very well.
But
I wish I would have spent more time with him.
Pick up a book and you can spend some time with him, and that's a good way of doing
it. Yeah, exactly,
you know.
Right. He lives on, you know.
Billy, thank you very much. Always good to
see you. You're welcome.
I wish we had some more time to actually sit and chat for a long time. I've got something over here I'm getting ready to do.
And you are? Okay, all right. Well, thank you
Sylvia
very much.
Sylvia Peel.
Thank you.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Bill Malone.
Bye, everybody. See ya. I'm going to miss you.
Scotty out.
Great.
Well, we are heading over towards the dealer's area, and this is in between the general sessions. There are some interesting focus sessions going on here this afternoon, and having a close-up clinic with Jason England and some other guys, and several other sessions we'll talk about later. But right now I'm here with John Bannon. Hey, John.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm glad to see you. Now, you come every year as well, and did you?
I've been to the last several.
Yes.
I missed the first couple, but yeah.
Weren't you involved also, or were you not, in the past with any of the festivities as far as like close up or something or teaching?
Yeah. When they were doing it on the stage with cameras and stuff.
Yes.
At the very beginning, I had a session on one of those.
Right. Right.
Yeah, long time ago.
Now, what's been one of your highlights that you've enjoyed the best so far here?
The close-up show this year was fantastic.
My gosh. Yes.
Yes.
Does that last guy remind you of Del Rey, maybe just a little bit?
Well, you know as well as I do. We've seen him 4 or 5 times at Factors.
Yeah.
And it's still new. I mean, he does stuff that you've never seen anybody else do before.
Right. No, it was fantastic. You know, and the interesting thing is that as I was waiting in line and people were leaving the theater, everyone was smiling and saying that was a great show and telling everybody, this is fantastic. And then same thing with us. As we were leaving, we were smiling. I could hear everybody saying, it must have been a good show. Look at these guys smile. Everybody had a great time. That was a highlight. Now, you're a close-up guy, so obviously you like that then, too.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I know several of the performers, and it's fun to just see, watch them put it all together in one act. You know what I mean?
I did not know the fella who was the MC, but I thought he was quite enjoyable.
He's from Chicago, actually.
Oh, you probably know him then.
Yeah, and
what's his name? Novak? I can't think of his first name over there, but it seemed like his last name was Novak. Anyhow.
It was Kovac.
Kovac.
Yeah, and I can't remember his first name either. Don't tell him I said that. he was hilarious.
Yes.
Yes, very good. Very good.
And the shows you've been, we got the Red Lanyard, so you saw the same show, general session this morning.
I typically don't go to the general session.
Oh, you didn't? So you haven't seen yesterday's or today's?
No.
Okay. Well, so you can't.
That's why I have
that.
A red lanyard, because the general sessions are in the morning.
Yeah, because you're like owl, night owl.
Yeah,
that's
much.
Right. That's right. So plus you're here probably to see mostly friends.
That is why I come. And this is a unique in all the world convention for that, because there's so many people, and there's also a lot of people from the West Coast that you just don't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
Or I don't see anywhere else.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of people, again, internationally who do come over that you never see anyplace
and
else.
And the international people,
Except at Factor, it seems like, you know. And those are some of the close-up guys you know are like, and you can't see them then, and then this time of the year then, too.
Yeah.
Do you go to the Genie convention also?
I'm going to be there this year.
Mm-hmm. Are you one of the performers?
I'm doing a lecture.
Okay.
And hanging out.
Well, it's because you got something new to sell, you know, which I highly recommend. I had reviewed that before. Yeah, the Zone...
Move Zero Volume
Move Zero,
4
will
debut at the Genie convention.
Okay.
So,
That hasn't really come out yet,
No, it hasn't come out. Move Zero 3 came out.
Okay. Was that the one where I was just doing the trick? Was that one 3 or was that 4?
I think that was like 1.
It was? Okay.
Yeah.
But you did them all at the same time. I think Big Blind Media does a great job.
We did 2, and then we waited almost a year, and then we did the other 2.
Because it looked like there was a little bit of a difference in the feel and the locations also.
Yeah, and it's my fault because I just couldn't get ready for 4 entire volumes at one time.
How long did you have to film for that?
Well, it's fun for me to go. So we took a whole week each time to do 2 volumes.
Okay.
And
in London or outside?
Oh, it's in where Owen lives, which is in like the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
I mean, last time I was there, it was so quiet. It was like being underwater quiet.
Wow.
You know, and it was just kind of strange, actually.
Yeah, well, being from Chicago and hearing zero silence,
sure that was it was amazing.
Good. And so your next convention is going to be what?
Genie.
Okay. I mean, obviously you're not going to come to TAOM, although you ought to consider coming out to Texas sometime.
Yeah, no, I'd like to. I don't think I've ever been to the TAOM.
Well, you know, we're going to be, this one's going to be in Frisco, which is north of Dallas, and next year we're going to be having it in Houston, and we might have to have you come out as a guest and maybe perform.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. And
you've never been at a TAOM then?
I have not.
Well, see, that's all the more reason why we ought to perhaps... I'm going to recommend that.
Okay, yeah.
So there you go.
Send me an email.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, John. Always good talking to you, buddy.
Good to see you.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Bannon. This is Scotty L. We're at the bicycle booth, and I'm here with Aaron.
Wimmer, hi.
That's right. Hi.
Hi.
So we're at the bicycle booth from Cincinnati. Are you from Cincinnati by chance?
I am born and raised.
Okay, so you probably have been with bicycle for a while.
I have, yep.
Did you have anybody else in the family who worked there?
I didn't, but you know, we do have a lot of people there whose mothers have worked there, and you know, they've just, family history.
Yeah, because it's been what, since 1896?
1885.
Yeah.
132 years.
Right, right. And they had a bicentennial, but they had a centennial deck, as I recall, way back at the 100th year anniversary.
We've had several. We've had, since I've worked at the company, we've had the 130th deck, and so they're very popular.
Wow. And so what are your most popular, obviously just the regular bicycle kind of cards that poker, everybody, you know,
everybody loves a bicycle classic red and blue deck, right. Of course. But with magicians, it's surprising, our Tally-Ho deck is really popular with the magicians. They have less of a slick finish to them, so
right.
Yeah, so they're very popular with
now,
them.
Now, as I recall, that some years ago that they stopped, Bicycle stopped printing like double backers and, you know, some other things. Are they doing that again? Did they come back or?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You say yet, like possibly there might be in the future.
You never know. You never know what we bring back. We bring back stuff all the time.
Right. Well, yeah. And speaking of that, tell me about the mini bikes that are coming back.
The minis are, everyone's been so excited that they're coming back.
Yeah.
So they've been gone for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So people are telling me, like, I can find them on some on, you know, eBay and things like that. But they're officially coming back on January 1st.
And they'll be available everywhere.
Yes, they will.
I mean, like Walgreens and wherever, like you normally buy cards, I guess.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
And the special deck that you got then right now is the Ombre. Tell me about the Ombre deck.
This one's really exciting. Our Ombre deck was printed just for the Magic Live show. So we created 2,500 decks. Let me tell you a little bit about it. So on the closure seal, it tells you exactly which deck, which number of 2,500 that you're getting. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom of it, it says Magic Live on the barcode. So it's a really special tuck. So you can see that the side has a die cut.
Oh, it's a die cut, sure.
Yeah, the die cut. And then you can, if you actually look, the die cut's there so that you can see the fade of red to blue.
Yes.
So this was, you know, and then, so it's all custom ombre deck. Then all the faces are custom with all the fade. So it's been really popular.
Who designed the deck?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just for this convention, and so,
yes,
but when they're gone,
they're gone.
So if there are a few left over, are they going to then sell them and it'll be available through bicycle.com?
No, not through us. So actually, there's going to be some available through Murphy's.
Okay.
Yeah, but other than that, once the 2,500 is gone, they're
right.
gone.
And of course, Murphy's does not sell to retail, so you're going to have to check your favorite dealer
exactly.
and ask for these.
Exactly.
The Ombre deck.
Now, the Ombre deck, and it's beautiful.
Now we're talking, and by the way, it's OMBRE, not with an H. OMB.
That's right.
And that also, be sure to go to the website, themagicwordpodcast.com, and I'll have some photos of this. So this way, you guys can take a look and see what this beautiful deck looks like. Wow, that is really.
$25 a deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else new that's on the horizon? You know, something that, I don't know how secret that you keep things, or do you? Or
well, we always have new decks, new rotations coming out. So we always have specialty decks that are popping up in your favorite retailers. And then Tiffany works in our custom department, and she's always coming up with great new things for all of her retailers. And so we always have things up our sleeves. Right now we have, did you see the Metalux decks we have here?
Nope, I did not.
These are foiled. So you can see when the light catches them, how beautiful
oh, wow.
they are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And we have these available in red and blue. And you can get these on our website.
You can or cannot?
You can.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. When when you don't catch the light right, it just looks like a regular deck.
Exactly.
But then, wow. That's
yeah.
beautiful.
They really are. And then the tuck is foiled, too. So they're really uh-huh. beautiful.
And that's called the Cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
Cobalt Lux.
Yeah.
And then the Crimson
Lux.
The got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Cobalt's the blue, Crimson's the red. And that's our Metalux deck. And they're retailing for $15 here today.
Very beautiful. Well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you here.
Pleasure to have you as well. And so until next time over there, then I will see you later than Aaron. It's Aaron with E-R-I-N.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Pretty name.
Thank you.
Thanks. And have you been a dealer here before?
I have never been. This is my first time at Magic Live.
What are you thinking so far? Of course,
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my coworker Tiffany, she's been here many times, but this is my first time, so I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because one of the nice things is that they do free up your evening, so you can go see the evening show as opposed to, you know, some conventions where you have to work
They
have other conflicting
events.
That is
true. Who do you recommend I see?
Well, of course, every show is a little bit different, and
yeah.
so the last evening show was great. Tonight's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I've not yet been to the Thayer puzzle thing, but everybody tells me that it is just fantastic.
Really?
So
okay.
If you have a ticket for that, don't
okay.
miss going to that. Also,
okay.
the close-up show is really awesome.
Okay.
The guys are all really good.
Well, I'll put that on my list.
So those
yes.
are two things that I would say that if you're going to miss an evening one of the shows, perhaps an evening show, you know,
yeah.
But don't miss the close-up show or
okay.
the Thayer thing.
Nice.
There you go.
I will.
Thank you very much,
well,
Aaron, for being
much.
A guest. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Very well. So that was Aaron Wimmer for the Magic Word Podcast here at the bicycle booth in the dealer's room. This is Scotty out.
Oh, that's fun. That's
So as we're wandering around the dealer's room during the general sessions here this afternoon, it's not quite as hectic or busy as it was, so I got just a few moments to grab with Gabe Fiore. Hello, Gabe.
Hey there, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. You enjoying the convention? Is it good for you as usual, I guess?
It's great to be alive.
I feel the same way. Every day is better.
Thank you.
That's right. And so I know that you've got different auctions going on all the time. What's the most recent auction that's going to be coming up soon?
This Saturday, we've got a tremendous collection of material related to sleight of hand. And when I say sleight of hand, I mean...
Like Sachs sleight of hand book?
Well, starting maybe about there, but really through the Vernon era, we've got correspondence that Vernon wrote. We've got all kinds of notebooks and letters, underground manuscripts, and it was all the material collected by Jeff Busby over his lifetime. So there's a lot of unpublished material, manuscripts for tricks, the Surrey notebooks, which have never been published, which compile all the material that Vernon was writing about in his letters, things from Fawcett Ross, Paul Fox, Mike Skinner, there's Marlowe material, and a lot of out-of-print and collectible books, and a few magic posters, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's going to start on
Saturday morning, August 19th. Starts at 10 a.m. Chicago time. You can bid online. Mm-hmm. You can call our office and leave some bids. You could come to Chicago, heaven forbid, and look at all the stuff that's on display in our gallery. We'd be glad to see you any way you want to participate.
And whenever you're going to be bidding online, it's always recommended that you get signed up for that. What is that?
In advance, on Live Auctioneers or BidSquare. Yeah. We use a couple of different websites. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this way they've already got your information. So that's
And you're good to go. You just sit there in your pajamas and your bunny slippers, and you just bid away while we're toiling away in the auction gallery.
It's fun just to watch how things go, you know, what the prices are and everything. So, yeah.
Thank you.
It is great. I enjoy it. What was the most recent auction that you had?
Last month, we had a fine books and manuscripts auction. It didn't really have much to do with magic. Mm-hmm. We sold a Shadow, Walter Gibson's The Shadow, his complete run that he owned, a Declaration of Independence. We had Hemingway first editions, Allen Ginsberg manuscripts, early books on science and botany and... artist books. We had one signed by Dalí with an original drawing by Dalí in it.
Wow. What'd that go for, out of curiosity?
That was like $1,500 or $2,000.
That's really inexpensive.
Yeah, relatively reasonable. Mm-hmm. The Declaration sold for $17,000, so that was a slightly higher price.
Yeah.
And... it was a good sale for us.
That sounds great.
Thanks.
Now, you're about to run out of the magic poster. I've got both of those books. I don't think I've got the slipcase.
The slipcase edition, we only did 200 copies, so it combines both catalogs into one, adds 100 posters to it.
Oh.
It's signed, numbered, limited edition of 200 copies. I have 19 left.
And they're how much?
$200.
Okay. Yep. And you said how many you had to begin with?
200.
200.
Yeah. And we have 19 left. Yeah, and with any luck, I'll have 10 left by the time I leave here.
Well, now, of course, this podcast is going to be released within the next 12 hours. And so, you know, people might be...
Head to the booth.
The
booth.
That's what I'm telling them
Every demonstration a sale.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And here from Potter Auction, as Gabe Fiore, Scotty out. And so now, as we're still wondering about, we're picking up people left and right. I just picked up Master Payne. Hi there, Master MP.
Hello. Good. Glad to see you.
And you as well. And so you are not giving a presentation.
I am not giving a presentation. But I'll be at the Wonderground on Thursday, but not giving a presentation here this year.
They usually have a lot of people at the Wonderground. You know, I went in February, and I was surprised. I thought there would have been two or three acts and each doing...
Oh, no, no. They pack them in. And it'll be interesting because Jeff's still in China. With like half the cast.
Will he be back here?
No, he's not going to be back until like the 28th, I think.
But is he actually in China or Macau, or is he working with
he's working,
France? Or?
No, he's launched his own little touring show called like Las Vegas Live or Vegas.
That's right, I saw
Vegas,
it on Facebook. Yes.
Vegas something. Yeah. And translated in one newspaper is the Demon Show.
Okay.
I know there's a guy from Brazil. I don't know who he is. Bizarro will be there. I'll be there. Tim Wise will be there. And so we'll have a good cast.
What's the guy's name who, Razor or something, that wears the mask, like a wrestling mask?
Oh.
That works with Bizarro?
Yeah, I can't think of his name. But yeah, he always performs in a Mexican wrestling mask.
Yes, right. Last time I was here, that was who was... I saw it performing there as well. Now, also, Jeff usually has a master class or a mystery school before or after the magical.
He did have a focus on close-up So I talked to Larry a little bit about it. He said they were able to pull it off now because of Eugene's sudden and untimely passing. So they're still going ahead with that, but they're going to have to kind of, you know, retool and find another wizened sage, which is going to be really, really tough. You know, Eugene's shoes are impossible to fill, but, you know, they will get filled by someone
somewhere.
Like, you know, just like when Di Vernon died, you know, everything shifted around and then so-and-so became the go-to person. It's just the way the magic community works. But we are all very saddened at Eugene's passing and more shocked. It was just so sudden for all of us.
What's one of your pleasant memories of Eugene?
Well, my favorite was the last time I saw him perform at the Castle, and he's doing a show in the Peller with Rob Zabrecki, and he comes down doing his finale, and he opens his little box, and he takes out the spool of yellow thread and looks at it and then puts it back down and pulls out a second spool of yellow thread and looks at it, puts it back down and shuts the box and then looks up and says, "Does anyone have a deck of cards?" Because he forgot to set both of them. But I'm like, oh, it's so nice to see when your icons fail just like you. You know, you are human too, Eugene.
That's right.
But no, it was my all-time favorite memory is because whenever I, you know, years ago when I was first starting out or first started going to lectures, he would just depress me horribly because I'll never be here. An unattainable goal.
Right.
I might as well just give up. And at every lecture, I would be depressed for weeks. And then, you know, years later, I go to my first presentation at Magic and Meaning Conference, and you know, got this, you know, totally unexpected positive response from the crowd for it. And as I'm putting my equipment away, somebody's hugging me from behind, and I turn, and it's Eugene.
Yeah.
And he's going, "That's one of the greatest presentations I've ever seen." I'm going, you know, I've made it, and I'm now the level that I never thought I would be.
Yeah.
So that was that's my all-time favorite memory.
You had your idol, actually.
Yeah, and say positive things, and I lived in fear every time I performed at Magic and Meaning, because Eugene would always have the, "We have to talk." and I was always dreading that he's going to come up and say, "We have to," and he never did. "We have to talk to me." So I'm going, "Oh, thank God, I've never had to go through
those
that."
Conversations.
But he always gave me like wonderful sage words of advice whenever at the end of the conference, and you know, and just very, very positive influence on everyone he met.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, and you're enjoying this convention.
Oh, yeah, because I'm not working. I can do everything.
Yeah, so you're seeing everything.
I'm seeing everything.
What have you enjoyed? What's been a highlight so far?
We're only
on the second day, right? The
highlight probably will be the Thayer box thing. I'm going at 5. I'm going at 5, but everybody I've known that says it's just great.
Yes.
So that'll probably be my favorite thing, even though it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But the seeing Levent last night in the show, always a pleasure to see Levent.
Yes.
And his whole laser printing presentation, I'm sure everybody's going to go home and now
buy a 3D
printer.
Yeah.
So sales will go up for somebody. They spiked. We don't know why.
Something happened in Vegas.
We don't know. But it's a great time was had by all. So.
Good. Well, thank you very much. Yeah,
good seeing you again.
You as well.
Yeah.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Master Fane. This is Scotty out. And so as we're strolling along into the dealer's room, then now I'm at Penguin with Brent Braun. Hey there, Brent.
How are you, Scott?
I'm fantastic.
Wonderful.
And so you guys show every year here as well.
We do. It's wonderful. It's
and
great
you, now, San always likes to have the dealers to come out with something new and different. What is new and different that you guys have got this year?
One of the hottest things we've got here is the Executive Clip, which is a switching clip for switching out bills, cards, all these sorts of things. But it's based on the old Bob Austin clip, I think it was called. Isn't that the Austin clip?
That's not like the one for the out to lunch thing to replace band, is it?
It's like a bulldog clip.
Oh, bulldog clip.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a bulldog clip.
Oh, yes, Bob Austin. I do remember that.
Yeah,
yes.
Normally it gets pulled in with elastic.
Yes.
But Chris Funk came up with the idea to replace the elastic with a magnet.
Clever.
So now you can actually show the pieces separate before you put it together. It holds up much longer, doesn't sort of wear out, which is super cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much do those run?
Those are $40. Yeah, only $40.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're available also on the Penguin side.
Yep, on the Penguin side. Yeah, the other thing we should talk about, which is super awesome, it's not even available yet, it's going to be on the website soon, is we have a variation of Paul Curry's Touch. So if you're familiar with the Paul Curry book, There's a trick in there called Touch. We've sort of updated that, changed the handling, and created a special deck of cards that makes it phenomenal. So that'll be on our website in a couple of weeks. But we have those at the event, you know, sort of
now. There's a special right now.
Yeah. It's great.
Tell me about the Magic Expo. I was talking with Mark Mason earlier today, and he was saying that he's got some coming up that he's going to be doing. I think it's coming up in October, I think.
Yeah, so we've got one coming up in September in New York. Yeah, we've actually got one coming up next weekend in Indianapolis and Chicago. Mm-hmm. So we're doing about 18 of them a year. Which ends up being 36 cities, is that right? Yeah. 36 cities a year that we're doing with them, yeah. It's just a one-day sort of convention, lecture, and dealer's room all in 6 hours. So we sort of get in town, set everything up, have a lot of fun for 6 hours, and then move on to the next
city. It seems like it's a heck of a deal for like $20, and then you get like a coupon also for like another $10 back.
Yeah, so what we're really trying to do is reduce the entry-level cost, right? Magic Live's amazing, but to get out here costs you $2,000 to hit the ground.
So you take the convention to them.
We're trying to take the convention to them and get them in the door for $20, right? So if you have kids, neighbors, or anyone who's interested in Magic, but you don't want to take them to a convention and drop $300 on registration just to get three or four of you in, you come in for $10, $20 for the day, and you get to see everything.
There are a lot of people who are there, and you see some great Magic, the new stuff, and also some lectures, and a lot of people coming and going. It's like a mini convention, because you usually have 200 or more people.
Yeah, depending on the city. You know, in some cities, when we do Philly and Newark, they're great. You know, we see 300 people in those cities. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And what that also means is outside of the room, right? The room shuts down at 4 o'clock, but there'll be all the magicians you met in the room that hang around at the bar and the restaurant until midnight and 1 in the morning, you know? So it's really not only us sort of coming to the community to bring magic to you all, but also bring the community together, because there's a lot of people that would never meet have we not sort of made this crossroad, which is
Penguin's got a lot of lectures that you have some great lecture program. Who's coming up? Who's going to the horizon?
Unfortunately, I don't know. Yeah, no, I'm not
talking the wrong guy on that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not the guy who keeps track of that, you know, because we do one a week.
Yeah.
So we've done over 200 of them now, right?
Yeah.
And have some amazing guys coming up, I'm sure. I'm just sort of brain dead and exhausted. Can't think of who we've got coming up.
I understand. I understand. So what have you enjoyed about this convention so far?
It's just everybody, right? This is one of the few places where I can come and I get to see everybody that I love and everybody that I don't get to see at every convention. You know, normal conventions are getting 400 or 500 people at a big convention. This is huge with 1,600 of, I like to say, my closest friends, right? So I really get to see everybody, which is super awesome to be able to do it. And then it's also enough days that I feel like I'll see all my friends, but I'll also have time to have dinner and relax and sit down with them, which is nice.
Exactly.
I love it.
Good. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thanks,
for
Scott.
For Penguin Magic, that was Brent Braun. This is Scotty out. All right, well, while we are at the dealer's room, that we're kind of going around and talking with some of the folks, and now one of the fellows who was one of the performers from last evening's show is quite memorable and a friend of mine, and yours too, Levent. Hello, Levent.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. By the way, I just want to say I've always enjoyed your photography, and over on Instagram, I scroll down until I find one of your most recent pictures. You really got a lot of good stuff.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and so you're traveling all over the world, so they're beautiful, and I like the way that you, put together the symmetry and everything, and the composition is just awesome. And then you have some nice lenses, you must be using
good lenses. And years ago, when I was a kid, my sister used to be a security guard at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And on my way back from high school back home, I'd stop by the museum, and I'd spend many hours there for free. She used to get me in for free.
Yeah.
And so if there's anything good in my pictorial compositions, because I've seen the old masters paintings.
Did you study art in college?
No, but I would, you're being around these great paintings, their composition is flawless.
Yeah.
So, they know their, the golden section, they know their rule of thirds. It's all in the masters. Yeah. So I know this is about magic, but about photography. To any extent that I'm good about compositions, because I've been around the paintings of the old masters.
Well, I think that art also transcends into magic, vice versa, because certainly that magic being an art, that is something that in being creative and being able to have that kind of an artistic eye on when you're performing something, and that the type of things that you do, you've got a very artistic eye for the types of things you do, and you have a nice crescendo in different ways of peaks and valleys. There's no valleys, no peaks and plateaus on your show whenever that you're performing. You have a point, so that way you bring it up a little bit higher, each time as well. I like the show, but there's no buts. I was going to say about the creativity part of that when you're creating, do you what is your muse? What is it that you think of? I mean, is it something in art that kind of inspires you to come up with an idea, or is it television, or what is there something
magic you mean?
Yeah, magic wise, I mean,
it's history.
Okay.
I'm a historian.
I know you are, because you wrote the great book, by the way, The Twilight, what is it?
Roy Benson by Starlight.
By Starlight. That's been out of print for a long time.
But no, I'm a person who likes the classics. But I always like to put my own, you know, contemporary twist on it. So that's what that is. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh. And so you're still working a lot of cruise ships.
Yeah, still working on cruise ships.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
Although, like in this heat, when I got here, I just was in China for over 3 months, so I did a long, long job here.
Right. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the convention here.
Very much so. It's terrific, but I'm exhausted because I did shows last night, and I did the two lectures today, and I need a day off from this convention. So I think tonight I'm gonna chill out.
Give you a day off on Thursday and Friday. How's
that? That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Levent, thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure.
We enjoyed it. Always
my
good. Right, for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Levent. And this is Scotty out. All right. Well, as we were talking yesterday, I was talking with Arthur Trace, and that was before and after the Erdnase session that we had. That was hosted by Jason England and Richard Hatch, and I've got the latter of the two with me right now. Hey there, Richard.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm
long time buddy
good.
Of mine.
That's right.
We go back probably early 80s, mid 80s, something like that.
Say,
when you moved to Houston from Omaha, I guess, or from Midland.
Yes.
I don't know which direction you came
from. I think, though, that
from.
We first met, though, when you went to the Close-Up Reconnoisseurs Convention,
I did go
remember?
One.
And that was like in 81 or 2, 3, somewhere in there in Midland.
Those were great.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Midland. First one I went to was in
Dallas.
It was Dallas?
In Dallas? Okay.
I did.
Yeah. Okay, then.
I missed that very first one.
You're right. It was in Omaha because you had the book out, and Walter, what's his name, who was the printer in Omaha?
Walter Graham.
Walter Graham.
Yeah,
had published
still
your
around.
Book.
Great guy.
Yeah, had published the book. He said, and I'd moved to Omaha. I said, you need to, I was going to move
to
Houston.
That book came out in 85, and then I moved to Houston that year.
Yeah, and that's when I was going to Houston. He said, well, you need to hook up with Dick, and you were one of the first people that I got together with. And the book was, what was it again?
The Magic of J.N. Hofzinser, Johann Nepomuk Hofzinser. So I translated that. It came out in Germany in 1942 by Ottokar Fischer. A lot of people have his illustrated magic.
Yeah.
This was the second of his books about Hofzinser. The first came out in 1910 about his card work. It was translated by S.H. Sharp in 1931. So a lot of people know about that. Dover reprinted it at one time. The book I put out has a very small card section, but it's all card apparatus card magic, rising card, gimmick card stuff, whereas the first book is sleight of hand, some gimmick cards, but not apparatus. This is known as the apparatus book, even though it has some sleight of hand, but it had 80 effects, about half of them with his original scripts, coin magic, ring magic, dollar bill magic, well, not dollar bills, but banknotes.
Banknotes, yeah.
And Walter did a really fine job publishing it, I thought, and it kind of brought me to the attention of the magic. I think that is my magic thesis,
up.
My PhD.
Yeah.
That was I dropped out of graduate school to do it, basically, and moved with my wife, who's a violinist, Rosemary, to Houston so she could study with someone at Rice University. And that only lasted a year or two, but we stuck around for another 25, and that's how I got to know you a little bit, which was fun.
That was good. Now, I enjoyed yesterday. We could sit and talk, obviously, for hours. You know,
I
just
could,
about, and you could.
I have.
But we got a new book right out, and I'm going to back away because you're selling some right now.
I am. It's not brand new, but it's great. It came out in 2013. This is the...
Revelations.
You may be familiar with the longer format
and one. I've got one of the original ones with the tipped-in picture and the sign
by Burton.
Man, how much are those worth now?
$300, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a good investment. It's got, his signature with the circle around it. Yeah, those
when
are
I bought
awesome.
That, I remember you were telling me, don't buy a book for an investment, buy because you want it.
That's an exception.
Because
that one has been a good investment.
So this is the same thing, basically, with the tipped-in notes or what?
When that book came out, you'll recall, it's oblong. They reprinted the expert on one side, page by page. They tore apart a first edition to do it. And then the margins, they put Vernon's annotations.
Right.
And when necessary, they'd add an illustration that they had newly done. The reason they did that is because they couldn't find the photos that Vernon had done.
Yeah.
He didn't know where they were. It turns out they were at Magic Inc. where the manuscript had been found, but they were in a box in a different area. And it wasn't until Jay Marshall died and they moved or cleaned up that they found the original photos. So a lot of people were wanting to see Vernon's hands performing the moves he described. So this is a reissue of that book with all of Vernon's annotations, but now with photos of Vernon's hands doing the moves rather than illustrated with line drawings. There's a lot of great I think you got to have both, and they dropped the S from the end, which was, I guess, his original intention. So instead of Revelations, it's just Revelation. And David Ben, who tracked down the photos and put them in the... They were just in like a shoebox, so he had to figure out the order to put them in, and he got Michael Albright, a great graphic designer, to design the book, and they came up with a font that is based on Vernon's notebooks, his handwriting. I'm trying to find a chapter heading that shows you that. Just It's a great thing.
Was this published by you and Charlie Randall?
No. I wish I could say that. Mike Caveney put this out, as he did the version that you have.
Yeah.
The thing I like about the version you have that's not in this is that had a nice introduction by Percy Diaconis. Here you go. That's not what I'm looking for either. Somewhere in here it shows you these fonts. There, that's
okay.
A font that was created inspired by Vernon's handwritten notebooks.
Okay.
And so I think it's called like the Vernon font or something.
And these are only like $65.
Yeah, feel that. That's a heavy, that's a couple pounds. And the binding imitates the green cloth of the first edition.
With the gold.
Comes with the dust jacket. I don't know how Mike does them at that price, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
The other one that I brought with me and like a lot is also not new. It's Darwin Ortiz's annotated Erdnase. My understanding is Richard Kaufman hired Darwin to do this book because the Vernon one was not expected to come out.
Yeah.
And so Darwin, who is extremely knowledgeable and skillful, did a great job. It was kind of inspired by Martin Gardner's annotated Alice in Wonderland. So again, it reprints the first edition, and then you'll see numbers in there, and you go over to the number to see what Darwin has to say about that. And he has a lot to say about it. As a person that's interested in the mystery, I like in the fact that at the very back, they have an essay by Martin Gardner on his candidate and how he found him, and then they reprint the letters that Martin Gardner got from a guy in Philadelphia named Edgar Pratt, who is the person that led Gardner to the Milton Franklin Andrews theory. So you can see what Gardner saw and what led him to that theory and can question it. And here's Milton Franklin Andrews' death certificate. So there's a lot of interesting historical information, but also practical information. If you want to learn stuff from the book and are struggling with it on your own, man, that's a great way to go. But so is that one. And this is only $45. How does Mike do that? I don't know. But I'm not complaining.
Well, you got some people lined up over here to buy, so I'm going.
Let me put this up on the table.
And you will. Thank you very much, Nick.
Hey, good seeing you, Scott. Okay, keep up the great work with the podcast. I enjoy it. All right.
For the Magic Room Podcast, that was Nick Ash. Scotty out.